All right. Well, it is the Fan Morning Show, Sports at 590 The Fan. I'm Blake Murphy. He's J.D. Bunkus. Somewhere in her weird blue colors and now no microphone is Ailish Forfar. Oh, boy. What a time she's having tech-wise lately, eh?
Sorry, I don't know what happened there.
Hey! I was just worried you spilled another water.
Nope, the laptop's good. I don't know. I accidentally pressed disconnect. What's up? The reason I chose that song is because The Weeknd's coming out with a new album on Friday all of a sudden. So that was supposed to be my A-list intro song, but we went with I'm Blue because I'm currently... My saturation or hue on my computer makes me look like I have frostbite. Anyway, I'm back.
Yeah.
That's because I so much want the Leafs to win that I'm bleeding blue, you know?
Now I'm realizing it's a little bit more of a purple blue, though. Is it blue? That should be the poll today. This is now the new what color is the dress? What color is Ailish? And posting that because you're technically black, right? You're wearing a black hoodie with a black microphone, correct?
Yep, this is it.
Yeah.
But instead, right. She looks
give
like
me the thumbs up, please. Yeah, close. I'll take a couple so you can vet them. Now I'm wondering if it's purple, if it was wrong all along that you're purple.
It's that dress.
You're our purple pal rather than. quick thought on The Weeknd because we're waiting for Jeff Merrick. Merrick's there. I was just going to say.
Never mind. No thoughts allowed.
The Weeknd song sounds the same. You know?
Yeah. We'll see about this album.
There's one amazing album, and then the last one I thought was a little overrated. And I know that gets you canceled in Toronto, but just the way I feel.
Let's bring in our guy, Jeff Merrick, host of The Jeff Merrick Show and co-host of 32 Thoughts, the podcast. Good morning. How are you this fine hump day?
Morning. Hello. Yes, day one of online learning. Every parent listening right now is very excited.
How tough is it to set that up? You got a couple kiddos.
Three, right?
Boy.
Me and my wife are playing Zone. I guess we're kind of used to it now. It's always like the first couple of days are tricky because there's a cats with laser pointers element to all of this because they're just not used to it. Because it's been a while now since they've done it, and now they're doing it. And setting it up is always interesting, and, you know, life, kids.
You sound so stoked.
Yeah, you're pumped. Okay.
Yeah, like you sound thrilled. So we're talking to online educator Jeff Merrick, host of the Jeff Merrick Show, co-host 32 Thoughts, the podcast.
He's
very excited to be here. Yeah.
I am excited to be here.
You're not busy enough.
It's all right. Hey, listen.
This is a break.
It's a break. It's our lives. This is what we deal with. We have to adjust. We have to be like those Tai Chi people we see in the park and just move and flow
and
go with it. And that's our lives now, everybody. That's our lives.
Yeah, be like water, they say. Or was that Bruce Lee?
Miso no kokoro. Be mind like water.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, there
okay.
You go. So
teaching.
This is what we have for you today, Jeff Merrick.
Okay, what's on the plate?
Because you're going to be asking to come on our show basically every day to be getting this break. You're going to be going to your wife.
Please.
Oh, I have to do. Hey, sorry, honey. They're having to make me do this thing right as they were trying to fire up the Zooms. I'm sorry.
We do this thing with like this mystery wrestler thingy, and you know,
so important.
Blake really digs
it.
And he's a great guy, and got to do it.
We started the show today talking about the return of Zach Hyman, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
how there's a little bit now of an unexpected, oh, nice to see you here, Zach, from Leaf fans. That it's not, oh, man, we really wish you were here because of the pieces that went out the door. I wonder how you think you're looking at this, the Hyman departure today from both sides.
I always look at it the same way. I'm happy that he got paid and took care of his family. quite bluntly. Like this is a guy that, I mean, I used to watch him play in the OJ in Hamilton. I would say, like, yeah, he's a good player. I don't know that he's ever going to make it to the NHL. And you'd see him in Michigan and you'd say, well, you know, he's a good player. I don't know if he's ever going to make it to the NHL. He's a late draft pick. And you say, well, good for him. That's a wonderful moment. I don't know if he's ever going to make it to the NHL. And this guy flat out just worked his way to the NHL and became a productive player. Now, did he get a magic wand waved over him? And is he now transitioned from playing with, you know, the Austin Matthews of the world to the Connor McDavid's of the world? I mean, did he pull a family out of a burning house in a previous life? Like, what did he do in a previous life to deserve this? I am the only thing that I have for Zach Hyman is joy, because he's earned everything that he's gotten. I don't know many people at all that have worked as hard as Zach Hyman has. And you know what? He's a decent human being too. Like sometimes athletes, in order to make it to the top of their field, you know, a lot of things get, you know, sent out the door with that. And sometimes that's, you know, basic human decency. And you just become singularly focused on one goal, you know, to the, you know, and you ignore everything else in your life. And Hyman's always been a give back guy. And he's like, honestly, I have nothing but good things to say about this guy. And I'm happy for him. He took care of it. He had the one shot to do it. And he did it. And he got himself in a great place to do it. And he took care of himself and his family. I got nothing but praise for Zach Hyman.
Yeah, he writes children's books, Ailish.
And he writes children's books. That's right. I forgot about that. Kids, come on. He reads kids' books. Guys.
No, it's a running joke on our show because all athletes now write children's books and they've completely taken the entire market. It's like when celebrities started doing all the car commercials. All the commercials. It's like Matthew McConaughey is like, I'll do all the commercials, and Brad Pitt's like, I'll do Nespresso, and all the people who are just commercial actors are like, hey, we want to eat food.
do yourself a favor. Go look up on YouTube the Bruce Boudreaux car commercial when he's coaching the Washington Capitals.
Oh, wow. That'll be good.
Nothing better. Nothing finer.
I love it.
Nothing
I love it already. I got to get into the children's book game. I don't have enough time, though. But, yeah, I have all the same feelings about Zach Hyman, but I do feel a little bit sad for him because of the situation going on in Oilers world. They're just having a tough go. If you're looking at what's going on in Edmonton, what do you think needs to be the first change for them to rewrite the ship? Okay, goalie. Okay.
Goalie. If you have the goalie, it's 70% of your team. If you don't, it's 100. We've all heard that one a million times by now, and it's true. And you're seeing it. Like, you saw it Wednesday against the Rangers. Like, the first goal, woof. The Kreider tip, like, the puck hits him in the chest, and then it turns into this version of, like, hockey Plinko as you're watching the puck roll down his sweater and between his legs and through his legs and into the net. It was like I was watching the Price is Right. Look, Mikko Koskinen is not a starting goaltender, not a number one goaltender in the NHL. At best, he is a backup, and, you know, he's probably a 2-3 guy on your depth chart, but he's been thrust into this duty. Mike Smith can't get the hospital bracelet off, and they haven't addressed the goaltending issue now in Edmonton in a few seasons. You know, to me, Ailish, I look at the Oilers, excuse me, and I say the shopping list they have now, it's kind of the same shopping list they had in the summer. You know, like, you look at what Ken Holland needs here. He needs a goaltender. Needed that in the summer. Needs a left shot defenseman that can play, you know, that can play in the top four. Same thing as the summer. Need a third line center. Needed that in the summer. Like, to me, then the only thing now is, you know, they're kind of full of cap space. To me, the Oilers are in a real tough spot here because they've already tried to address a couple of these things. I mean, they're pumping up Ryan McLeod and throwing him in there in the third line center spot. And I think Ryan McLeod's going to be a good NHLer for a long time. But on this team right now that has, you know, Stanley Cup aspirations, Ryan McLeod can't be a third line center. You know, bless Duncan Keith, but he's on, you know, the back nine and can see the clubhouse and the career here right now. And they still have the goaltending issue. And then, we'll just get to it because it's the elephant in the room. What happens to Dave Tippett? Mm-hmm. Right? Like that's the big one around Edmonton right now. And is Mike Babcock's name out there? Yes, very much. Mike Babcock's name is out there.
Oh, okay. Boy.
I don't even care that it's Mike Babcock. Like, I'm not in my feelings about Babcock the way the rest of the world is. I thought that the bullying thing was, like, massively overplayed. And do I think Mike Babcock is maybe a hypocritical figure? I absolutely do. But do I think that he should be banished from the hockey world for the rest of his life? No. So, like, I remember there was one cover of a newspaper that had him and Bill Peters on the same cover. And I went, oh, that seems kind of unfair. Like, that seems a little bit unfair to Babcock. The bit of a false equivalency, but okay. But that aside, I cannot think of more of a Band-Aid on a bullet wound than thinking that you can just fire the coach. Like, Dave Tippett is a good coach. We just talked to Colby Armstrong, who worked or like who played under him and who liked him, who really enjoyed his time with Tippett. And you just went over all those different things about this Oilers team that are not good. They said the rest of us can see it. The whole world can see it. Everyone can understand that all those issues you outlined are the issues. But that's the biggest problem, is that they've been the issues year over year over year with McDavid. And I'm not trying to be, honestly, radio hot take guy, but this is a guy who sounded really, really pissed off a couple of years ago. And then COVID happens, and we end up in this season where they start out hot and you're thinking, oh, maybe the Oilers are onto something here. Maybe things are a little bit different. And now it's all the same. And I genuinely wonder when we're going to start having conversations about truth, the truth of how the Oilers feel about this situation internally, and whether there is any panic that that guy finishes his contract there.
So I think there's a couple of things there. One, you always look at it, when a team's losing, you always look at one question, or at least I do anyhow, JD, and that is this a problem of coaching or a problem of composition? And I think you're right. I think mainly it's a problem of composition. I don't think that changing the coach changes everything, but I think here's the question you do ask yourself. Will it make things better? Will it improve anything? Because making trades right now is hard. Like, I refuse to believe that Ken Holland, you know, isn't trying to get a goaltender, isn't trying to get a third line center. But right now, you know, everybody knows the situation the Oilers are in, and nobody is helping Edmonton, I assure you. Like, none of these guys are all pirates, you know, like, oh, let me relieve you of this prospect for this, you know, third line center that we're looking to get rid of. Like, nobody is trying to help Ken Holland at this point, but he's trying to do this. So I look at the Oilers and I do say it's more of a problem of composition than coaching. True, but given the fact that making a trade right now is tough, if not almost impossible, maybe the coaching decision is the only one you can make now in order to improve your team. You know, do you bring in like a strong structure guy like Babcock or a strong structure guy like Claude Julien? Do you go into Bakersfield and see about Jay Woodcroft, who everyone assumes one day is going to be a head coach in the NHL and is doing great things with the Condors right now in the American League? Like, that may be, I mean, some may look at it, and I suspect, JD, you're one of them, the lazy decision, because it's the easy decision. But I think at this point, you're saying to yourself, missing the playoffs isn't an option in Edmonton. Like, there's no way. So what can we do to improve this team? And if changing the coach is one of those things, maybe that's the decision to go with.
Oh, before we let you go, we got one quick one.
What's up?
About the decision to send some of the juniors to the Olympics. It's basically been confirmed that Owen Power will be one of the first to be announced on Team Canada for the Olympics. Yep. Thoughts on that? Is he too young? Is it going to be a storyline that we look back on as a defining moment? Yeah, I'm excited for it.
it's interesting, first of all. I think physically he's strong enough to do it. That game at the World Juniors where we all went crazy for Owen Power because he scored the three goals. I'm not trying to diminish, you know, what three goals. Like, it's the, like, that was the best game we've ever seen Owen Power play. Mm-hmm. Like, there were, like, he was still getting, you know, burned by some pretty average players on a consistent basis in that game defensively. And not, like I said, not that that's like the singular odd on the play of Owen Power. He's physically strong enough to go. Hockey Canada, I can't remember when they started to do this. Maybe it was with Jonathan Toews. They have this thing where they always try to bring like one really young player to a lot of international tournaments. They'll do it at the World Championships, for example, right? Toews was one of the first ones they did this with. Patrice Bergeron they did it with as well. So it doesn't surprise me. And if Owen Power can handle it, I mean, he's going to be part of the Hockey Canada program as he turns pro for a number of years, we suspect. So why not? I thought Ron McLean brought up a really good point on Saturday when he's talking to Elliot, and he said, sure, Owen Power is one thing. Why not bring Connor Bedard? He's 16 years old. And he already looked like he was one of the best players at the tournament, you know, with all due respect to the 19-year-old forwards in the tourney.
Yeah, well, I'm sure we're going to find out more about those rosters. We're only 1 month away from the opening ceremonies in Beijing, and not a lot of conversations yet. So I'm sure that's gonna ramp up. Best of
looking
luck.
Looking forward. Hang on, just as interject mm-hmm. here. When are they going to name the women's team?
I'm trying to get my scoops. Okay, I got my eyes on all their Instagram stories to try to see who's heading to Calgary. I'm on it. I'm on the hunt. I will be.
Wait, you're doing it the same as the rest of us, looking at their Instagram stories? That's
well,
not what
I mean, I'm not going to text them and be like, "Hey, do you know yet?" Like, what if they say, "Yeah, I did."
Who's your source on this Ailish? Oh, Instagram.
No, I have some sneaky links in terms of getting the info, but yeah, nothing yet. I heard
sneaky
the last
links.
Announcement
They've
was
all been
within,
on the show.
Within the next week or two, but God, I just want to know. I'm sure they want to know too.
They all, of course. Like, there's some interesting stories there. Like, you know, does Victoria Bach make it? Does Megan Mickelson's come back? You know, mm-hmm. does she achieve that? You know, fourth time at the Olympic stream? Where does she get the slice? Who knows? There's some some interesting questions out there.
Stay tuned. We'll get you on the show to talk when we have the news.
I'm in.
All right. Well, best of luck with the online learning today.
Can I stay? Can I come back in 20 minutes?
Hey, look, sure. I've got a great random wrestler of the week tie-in to the Olympics here. So if you want to come back later, just hop on.
Let me see how we handle three kids and online learning here in a couple of minutes.
Yeah. All right, buddy. Best of luck. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks, Jeff.
Gang.
Jeff Merrick, host of The Jeff Merrick Show and co-host of 32 Thoughts, the podcast, and online learning specialist today. Oof. Welcome back, everybody.
I did.
Fire up those Zooms.
I had a really good Murphy and Merrick random wrestler of the week.
No, but he said he had to go. I'm sorry.
I know. I'm not complaining. I wish it was one that you guys would have a chance at getting. It's too niche. I was
trying
to.
What if you did it and we let people text in?
Nah, JD's shaking his head. No, he doesn't
do
want
it.
To do it.
I just,
oh, okay. All right. So, this was going to be the one. Owen Power to the Olympics. So, if Canada were to win gold and he's on the roster, he'd become the second youngest Canadian to win gold at the Winter Olympics. Yesterday.
Wait, you think they're going to win gold?
I'm saying if.
Okay.
Yesterday, WWE crowned their second youngest NXT champion of all time. NXT is like their minor leagues, kind of. It's Bron Breakker, who is the nephew of Scott Steiner and the son of Rick Steiner. So my question to Merrick was, who is the youngest NXT champion of all time? And hey, if you want hockey trivia, who is the youngest Canadian to win gold on a hockey team on the men's side? Oh. I don't know on the women's side. I'm sorry, Ailish.
You mean in the Olympics? Because I would
probably
guess
Poulin,
that it's
honestly.
Something. Someone in the U15 tournament or the U.
Yes, I said the Olympics.
Okay. Right. So
okay, don't Google it. People text in. We'll see who's right.
You said on the men's side at the Olympics, the youngest player to ever win?
Yeah, to win gold.
Not there's, Canadian, there's, just anyone.
There's, no, Canadian.
Yeah, oh, okay. No. Yeah.
There's absolutely no way you're going to get this. It is in the doc because it's by something
it.
To chew on as
I
well.
I never heard of that person in my life.
But it was for the listeners, not for you guys.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to guess then.
What year was this?
What year did this? Well, here's my guess based on what you guys have said. Like, me not getting it or even having a remote chance is a reminder that the Olympics is not just something that started in the last 10 years. So I'm guessing that this guy, whoever it is someone that has, like, is an old-time NHL player that I've never heard of before.
Well, if you look at his first name, you can tell that he's not from this era.
What's his first name?
So
I don't want to give it away.
Well, it's my something to chew on anyway. So
okay,
let's just do that.
It's time
for something to chew on, brought to you by Great Canadian Meats. Owen Power, we 19 years, 2 months old when the Olympics begin, which would, if Canada win gold, make him the second youngest to do so. The youngest, Reginald Hooley Smith.
Reggie.
1924 Olympics, 1972 induction to the Hockey Hall of Fame. And allegedly, the first player to wear a helmet. No. This guy's that's according to his Wikipedia page.
Soft,
he is
eh?
Possibly the first NHL player to wear a helmet. Soft is the thing. He played for the Toronto Granites. He played for the Montreal Maroons. He played for the New York Americans. This guy has quite the thing. He was also at one point the NHL record for career games played until Dit Clapper passed him.
Oh, I know Dit Clapper.
Yeah, so Reginald Hooley Smith, a lot here. So something to chew on is Owen Power. If you're going to be the second youngest to win gold at the Olympics for Canadian men's hockey, you're probably headed to the Hockey Hall of Fame if Hooley Smith is any indication. But B, you've got to change the game in some way. This dude introduced the helmet. So Owen Power, it's on you. You got to introduce something else.
You have no idea how much Jeff Merrick is triggered that he didn't get to do this. We had a thing where he got to talk about wrestling and hockey players that no one who's alive has seen play hockey. Those are the Jeff Merrick corners. And we have weird things. I could have given him the Flurry take, the retire Flurry and go to Team Canada. We could have done three different things with Merrick that are his favorite things, and instead we did Hyman and the potential McDavid thing, and he goes, I just have to go to online learning. He's going to be devastated when he finds out that today Blake Murphy talked about Reggie Hooley Smith, who Merrick is guaranteed has like four stats on, four things. He would have known, 100% he would have known the helmet thing. You should have changed it to not random wrestler of the week. You should have been like Blake Murphy's random non-wrestler of the week, Hooley Smith. We would have got that in 100%. That was a great one.
Look, so, I'm trying to let Merrick know that there's a reason to stay on with us longer. So
yeah,
you better listen to the podcast. Yeah.
Could have been us.
Subscribe, download.
Yeah, could have been us, but you're playing, Merrick.
Before we break, I do want to talk a little bit about this, something to chew on with Owen Power. I'm pretty darn upset about no players at the Olympics, relatively speaking, of course. I think should be stated in the now times as Jeff Merrick goes to teach his three kids over a Zoom call. So sports-wise, I just wanted to see best-on-best. I love best-on-best hockey. I really do believe that it is the cornerstone of why so many of us fall in love with the game. I just know what 2002 Salt Lake meant to me as a kid. And just even having Curtis Joseph on that team, right? What the point of pride and the way that made me invest in Cujo and the way that made me invest in just the players on that team was completely different. Salt Lake to me is one of the foundation moments of my sports fandom. Like, period. Best on best is massive. It is incredible. There's nothing like it. Nothing. Hockey is best, first round Stanley Cup playoffs, and best on best Olympic hockey. Those are the two things. Having the potential for more World Juniors players to go, I'm in. All of a sudden, I care. I'm sorry to Eric Fair. I did not care, Mr. Fair. Cat in the Hat, I'm going to make a I don't care, Mr. Fair thing going down the line. But I just don't. I do not care. I do not care. I do not care. Owen Power, Bedard, send all the kids. Send them all. Let them build up. Let them be there. Let them be Olympians. What? You really need it to be dudes who are playing in, what was that, Cellulose Cup? Who knows where we were at?
It was like the, what was
the Teletubby Cup that they're playing. Come on. No one wants to see those games. And everyone, there was a small pocket of people who tried to pretend as though not having the best on best was cool last time around, where they went, I like it. It's not as boring. This is great for the amateur guys, blah, 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 blah. No, it's not. We all learned that it's not. It sucked being, didn't they lose to Germany? My God. No, we're not supposed to lose to Germany at hockey, for God's sakes. This is
the legacy
great.
Of
this,
the know, Channel One Cup in shambles. Right?
Channel One, that's it.
This is what it reminds me of. It actually reminds me of when pro athletes couldn't go to the Olympics because it was deemed as an amateur competition. And you would look back at the NBA, for example, and you used to think, wow, USA had Jerry West and Oscar Robertson on Olympic teams, and they weren't pros yet. when before guys were, you know, one and done collegiate players, they would go to the Olympics and have these stacked Olympic squads with absolutely legendary players because you couldn't have the pros in. And that's what this feels like to me, an opportunity for Canada to actually get the World Junior team, to know the World Junior team, not everyone on it, obviously, but I'm talking about the best players that are on that team, Shane Wright, Connor Bedard, Owen Power, send them. Give us some intrigue to this tournament and let us have all of a sudden the Olympics be looked back on with at least a little bit of something, because no one I this is what I can remember about the last Olympic team. Ben Scrivens was on the team and that's all I remember. And I think we lost to Germany. Do you guys have any memory about the last Canadian Olympic hockey team?
No.
Can you name absolutely one player zero that was on it? Actually, I think Mason Raymond. I think I'm pretty sure Mason Raymond was on it too. So there you go. That's a whole lot of information that you just got. I know. Try to soak it all in. Some people are freaking out because they had a family member that was on that team. But I'm sorry. I just remember Mason Raymond, Ben Scrivens.
I'm pulling up the roster and it is yikes.
My boy, yeah. Todd Halushko. Yeah, Todd Halushko, my boy, Todd. Coaching up the Germans, making them a hockey powerhouse. What a legend. What a traitor, though, too, because he helped them win. Not a lot of people talk about my boy Todd being a traitor. Do you guys love this?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly better than the alternative.
Mm-hmm. I 100% love this, especially after seeing Owen Power at the World Championships. He was playing against older, strong NHL players who, KHL players who will probably be there if NHLers can't go. And he held his own. You know, like he was one of the youngest players at the tournament, and I was very intrigued every time he was on the ice. So for him to get the opportunity at the Olympics after seeing what he could do already at that stage this summer, I'm in. I can't wait. Connor Bedard, I tweeted it out, get in there. He'd be definitely the youngest ever. Sorry to Reginald Hoover or Hooley.
Hooley. Hooley.
We got some texts in about Hooley. I'll read them after the break, though. But yeah, stay tuned for that.
I was going to say, I'm on board with it. I think, you know, no disrespect to the Derek Roys of the world, but this is a more intriguing thing. This is a better, like, if you want to sell this as a one-off and, like, how can you make the most of it, getting these guys some experience and chemistry together on the national stage and building up their, you know, just their experience and stuff like that. I think that's a better sell than, hey, we're going to honor some of the depth that we have outside of the NHL around the hockey world. Obviously, there's going to be a place for both. Like both types of those players are going to be there.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely much more excited about the prospect of Power and McTavish versus let's remember some guys, the Olympic roster. As much all as right. I love to remember some guys. Ailish mentioned some texts are coming.
That's what we do now. We remember some guys. That's what we
do.
We get together, we have a couple of pints, and we remember some guys. That's what we do. Blake and I today talked about TV Guide before the show and how much we miss the channel where you would go through and look for what was coming on TV. And he remembered what channel it was. Mine I remember, too, was Channel 7.
Channel 13 for me, but
yeah,
so I can't believe you're bringing this up on air and breaking the kayfabe of me being young and hip. Which is obviously the character I play on the show.
Watching TV, the channel that showed you what was on TV, and waiting and arguing with siblings over whether or not it was time to abandon the channel because you had already picked out the show that was running on TV. Electric. A true loss. Cable forever.
The waiting 5 minutes because the channel changes over at 6:55 and you need to sync on at 7. Yeah. We're going to do the same to you. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk a little more Olympics. We're going to talk some Aaron Rodgers. We're going to answer your texts, 590, 590. And we're going to reveal the youngest NXT champion because I think Ailish said a couple people got in the text line. All that's next on The Fan Morning Show, Sports at 590, The Fan.
Welcome back to the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 Fan. JD Bunkus, Blake Murph, and Ailish Borfar here holding it down on Hump Day, which is a real thing. And it is a real commercial from the past. And we just opened up some memories, clearly in the text line, people texting in about the channel TV guide that has put them in the reminiscing mood. Tiff from Kitchener. a loyal texter on the text line. Channel 13 TV guide. LOL. Repping the region, Blake.
That's right.
Yep. She's even got a 519 number, so she's legit.
She has to. None of that 226 stuff here.
No, no, none of that. We got a channel 5 right here. I don't know what that channel is. I don't remember what mine was. 2?
I would also like to do shout-outs. And I would like to shout out, because again, Ailish has her fake news text line sometimes. Text line.
Nope, never.
You can see the
receipts.
You can text Ailish anytime there, 590-590. But you can also reach Blake and I, you know, on our socials. You know, search Blake Murphy and JD Bunkus on Instagram, Twitter.
And me, come on.
No, not you, because that's the point. Is like, yeah, you're, of course, you're there.
You've got your text line where you're like, this person, Jailish. Yeah. Said they agree with me.
Yeah. No, but here's the thing. So yes, clearly you were right that camel commercial exists, but Irene tweeted it. Never seen it, and I watch a lot of TV, and that is my stance. I challenge anyone to tell me they watch more TV than me. I watch so much sports. I'm watching sports all the time. My TV is just constantly on. It's just the TV is. You would think that I have a dog. Because that I leave a dog in this home, and the dog needs the company of the television, because that's just me. TV running all the time, sports channels all the time, something all the time. I'm a TV guy, and I've never seen this commercial. So what does that say? What does that say about you? That means that commercial sucked. I didn't even watch it. I didn't even watch it when you tweeted it.
Watch it.
No,
come on.
I didn't even watch it. I got it, and I prefer my Geico commercials. Caveman, Gecko, end of list.
This was before that, though. That's why it's
a little bit.
It's a this is an older commercial. Yeah, it's not a new commercial. This is an older commercial.
Yeah, I watch so much TV. I can't see it. I'm with Irene.
No problem. Irene and you can live in your world without camels saying hump day.
And
I'm
Blake.
Fine with it. Well,
yeah, I have no dog in this fight or camel in this fight. I knew that hump day was a thing. I don't think I've ever seen that commercial, but I also don't care.
Okay. Well, here's something you do care about. You asked who's the youngest champion NXT. How did you word it? I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. So Owen Power has the potential to become the second youngest Canadian men's hockey player to win gold at the Olympics. If he goes, if that's all locked in, NXT, which is WWE's developmental thing, crowned their second youngest champion ever last night. So I asked, who is the youngest ever? And a couple people got it, Ailish.
Yep. So we've got the very first text was Jordan and Saga, our guy. He said Bo Dallas at 7:18 and 32 seconds.
He wasted no time.
Exactly. Mike in Newmarket says Bo Dallas at 7:20 and 55 seconds. So very close. I'm going to have to give the win to Jordan and Saga, but Mike in Newmarket, you're close. You should type a little faster, bud.
Yeah, that's tough. Good pull, though. Good pull. Bo Dallas was my guy, criminally underused when he got called up. What are you going to do?
So we've got those texts coming in. We have some more texts about the Washington football team name. I don't know if you guys want to go there or you want to talk about football in general.
You're in charge.
All right. Well, okay. I didn't know it was text line Wednesday here.
I wouldn't mind talking about the Aaron Rodgers story that I sent yesterday, unless there's an actual text that's a topic. Other than just the people who got the wrestler.
Just those two.
Yeah, okay, good. So two complete huge losers that listen to this show. Got it. So there's a voter, someone who has a pro football vote, who is not going to vote for Aaron Rodgers for MVP. Because, quote, he's a bad guy. I really don't know how to feel about this story. I'm kind of curious what you guys think about this guy publicly stating this. We've already known that sports voters can be very look at me with some of this stuff. So that's my original feel on this. Obviously, though, now that I look at it from a... not a hypocritical standpoint, but I did think that most of us wrote off Aaron Rodgers when he had the fake COVID thing. Mm-hmm. But to me, it was more related to the fact that he missed a game because of it and his team lost the game because of it and trying to parse that out. What did you think about this? And secondarily, how Aaron Rodgers little bit of stat chasing going into week 17 against the Detroit Lions and saying to himself that he wants to play in that game. And apparently a lot of the other Packers stars are going to follow suit.
Yeah, so my first thing is Hub Arkush, who is the person who has said this. You're trying to make the MVP thing about yourself. It's let's be honest. If we're going to do the we're never, and I don't mean this that the way people behave and who they are doesn't matter, but if we're going to do the I'm not voting for someone for an award because they're a jerk or they're not a good person, like, you really want to start pulling at that thread? Because you're going to have to rewrite a lot of MVPs, a lot of coach of the years, a lot of stuff across multiple sports. I would love to see his history of who he's voted for on the MVP too, because it's not as if there's, you know, I don't think it's an award that you pair with good citizenship. I don't mean that they're all bad guys or anything. I just mean that this seems like picking a fight or picking a battle that's really specific and not consistent. So I don't disagree that Aaron Rodgers is probably a jerk, but he's minus 400 to win the MVP right now. He is going to win the MVP. I don't think there's a good case here. I think it's a guy making it about himself a little bit.
Yeah, and I totally agree. Look at the history of people that have been voted for. I'm all for maybe this changing in the future, but I don't know if this is the time to make that stance. Like, if that's something that we go to in the future with cancel culture, then that will happen and we can't control that. But I don't think that this is the hill to die on with the Rodgers situation. There's a lot of people that are already in the hall with history that we can't rewrite. Whatever. I think he's trying to make this about himself. We talked about it yesterday with, is AB going to make it in the Hall of Fame? Well, then, you know, that's the same kind of discussion. He's got some off the field issues. Does that change your perspective of him going in the Hall? We didn't really feel that way. So is Rodgers the first guy that you're going to make that stance for? I don't think so.
Oh my God. I could not dislike that. Scares the crap out of me, what you just said. Where you're like, hey, should we maybe start thinking about this moving forward? Like, maybe no. Sports is not supposed to be a morality contest. It's supposed to be about who are the best athletes. Like, yes, if people commit egregious acts, then of course, like, you have conversations about things like O.J. Simpson. You go, oh, you know what? Maybe we don't put O.J. Simpson in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, even if it is a museum. Who those kind of conversations, I'm like, yeah. Whether or not someone's a jerk or whether someone does things that you don't agree with politically, or even if someone has a criminal record or something that gets exposed. No, these do not go into the MVP discussions post whatever. This Aaron Rodgers situation is outrageous. The guy's the best quarterback in the NFL on the best team. If you don't like Aaron Rodgers or he's mean to you, that doesn't get to play into your vote. If I'm the NFL Voters Association or whatever the hell they are, I'm stripping this dude immediately. Are you kidding me? You went public and you made it about this? This is a joke. That's an absolute joke that you did that. I say sometimes that athletes shouldn't have their own vote because they're biased. Like, I even tweeted recently, the reason why you can't let NBA players have Hall of Fame votes is the same reason why, you know, you shouldn't let LeBron James be your GM who goes out and trades for Russell Westbrook, right? These guys do not have the best acumen of it at times. You're supposed to take these jobs somewhat seriously. And it's supposed to be, no one's paying you to try to evaluate people on morality. This is a joke. And this is a horrible part of where sports is heading, where we're doing this thing of like, is it a good person? How much is it a good person? Look at all the sports stories. The sports stories now are just catered towards so much more of, this is a story about this person because they're a good person off the ice. This is a good person off the pitch. This is a good person here, blah, 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 blah. I don't care. Some of us don't actually care about that stuff. We just want to see you play sports. And if you're a bad guy or if you're a good guy, you're a bad girl, you're a good girl, I don't really care. I'm tired of watching the draft and have the draft be every single story about the person's up, whether they donated to charity or not, or what struggle they had. Break it down for me and tell me about why this person is going to be good with my actual team. It's almost like we need to build a channel for these people. Like, hey, the Good Athletes channel. Who writes all the children's books? You can have all those.
It's called the A-List every day at 6:30.
My God, I'm so tired of this stuff. Like, and this guy with Aaron Rodgers. Yuck, makes me sick.
Yeah, I wouldn't go as far as to say it makes me sick. It just, it's nonsense. It's like we said, you want to start pulling at that thread. All right, you're talking about a completely different definition of these awards. Mm-hmm. We have other awards for that stuff. And I don't mean to say that it's not important that athletes try to be good people and that factors into whether or not you like them. That's obviously a very real thing. But to change, I don't know, man. Like, I'm assuming this guy has had a vote for a long time, and to come out and be like, no, you know what? Now, this is where I'm drawing the line. This is where,
he's a jerk,
man,
and he's not
a good, like, they have, I can't remember what it's called. It might actually just be called the Man of the Year. Yeah, the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award.
Yeah, save it for that.
Yeah.
Guess what? I think all of us should strive to be good people, okay? You should try to be a good citizen. You should try to be a good person. Not everybody is. And, yeah, I don't know. I maybe it's because we're tying this into cancel culture, which I can't stand to the 10 millionth degree. I think that some of this accountability is just outrageous. Again, this is a reporter. Aaron Rodgers does seem like a weird guy, right? He's not connected to his family. He had the weird COVID passport thing. Then he talked about his immunity or whatever the hell. He just seems like an odd dude. He does. He seems egomaniac. Like, he seems egomaniacal. There's some stuff about Aaron Rodgers that doesn't seem that amazing. But also for this guy to be taking things that are what he knows sort of in private to the public is also, to me, more of a violation than whatever Aaron Rodgers is doing as a quote-unquote jerk.
Yeah, I mean, and some of this stuff isn't private necessarily. Like, I'm sure he's talking about all this COVID stuff and some of the nonsense comments he's made. But yeah, it's not what the point of the award is. It's not, it's just not what that discussion is. It's a separate discussion than the NFL's MVP award, which has never factored that in, which is a separate award for. And you know, Aaron Jones is the Packers nominee for that award, the Walter Payton Man of the Year. So if you want to focus your energy there, by all means, pump Aaron Jones's tires. I know that reporter is Chicago-based. I don't know who the Bears rep is, but focus your energy on that. But your MVP vote is one of 50 that's on the league's most valuable player, not the league's chillest bro. And again, Aaron Rodgers minus 400 to win MVP right now. It's more or less a done deal.
So how do you guys feel about them playing in Week 18?
So I will say this. I think I've told this story before, that I've been to a Week 17 game that really didn't matter. Colts at Bills, and it was a cool snowstorm and stuff. I think if they play the whole game and they're just running up the stats, it's garbage, and you're begging for bad karma and like an injury or something like that. You want to play a couple drives or the first half or something like that. I'm okay with that. Like, fans are still paying for those tickets, right? And getting excited to go to the game. I don't think it's the end of the world. Like, if Rodgers is like, no, I got to throw for 300 yards because I want my stats, because I want the MVP. That's one thing. To come out and like, hey, we want to stay fresh. We don't want to have 3 weeks between games. We want to, you know, I'm sure the Packers don't actually care about Lions fans, but like, that's enough of a juice game that, like, if you're a Detroit fan, you were looking forward to seeing Aaron Rodgers and the rest of the Green Bay Packers. So I'm okay with a couple drives.
I think you play it like it's any other game. I've played enough sports that you don't go in thinking, well, it's this player, it's this team, let's let off. Bad habits are formed. You're going into a very important Super Bowl run. I don't think you go in any other way without preparing like you're playing the top team in the league. I maybe that's just the athlete in me, but I would hope to see them give it their all. Obviously, injuries are a concern. Obviously, you're not trying to, you know, do front flips over people. But I would just say you go into it like you're going to approach it as it's any other important game. If it's a blowout, it's a blowout. They're just Lions suck. Maybe they'll learn something. Maybe they'll watch a strong team and learn something. Maybe it will be the straw that breaks the camel's back. Hump day. I just think that professional sports, you don't, I can't imagine going in being like, well, we'll just do a couple things and then we'll play it tight. Like, imagine you're betting on that. Imagine, yeah, you pay money to watch this team play. You want to see them go all out. What we talked about this with the World Juniors, like Canada's playing Austria and it's 11-1. It's the same kind of mentality. Like, you feel bad for that team, but you also want that team on the Canadian side to go in and get the stuff that they need from it.
Yeah, and if you're a Lions fan, like I said, you've circled that game on your calendar. Your team has had another really bad year. There hasn't been a ton to look forward to. I don't know if ending it on, hey, here's four quarters of Jordan Love, and maybe your team wins a game that's mostly meaningless to them. I don't know. I think you'd rather see the team that is potentially Super Bowl bound, and you get to see the actual team for a little bit.
Like, you're out of your mind. You're out of your mind. Lions fans have had enough Aaron Rodgers. Like, I don't think that there are families that are going to that game being like, we get to see Aaron Rodgers light up the scoreboard on the Lions in week 17 in a meaningless game for them and a meaningless game for us. No, I've said this to you guys before, that going to football games is not so much about seeing the star most of the times. It's more about, can your team win? And the special nature of that, of it doesn't matter. Every single game is technically, in some ways, a Super Bowl. That's why when you see disappointed fans in the stands, even when a team is eliminated, that's why. Is you pay this money to go see your team win. If I'm a Lions fan, I'm like, I don't really care about that person. This isn't the NBA to me, where you're going on a one-off night and paying to see LeBron and then he healthy scratches. This is risky. This is a risky-ass move by Aaron Rodgers. I remember when the Patriots did this when they played Wes Welker and he tore his ACL, I believe, in a Week 17 game. And they lost him. And it had repercussions. You lost your best slot receiver. And so if I'm the Packers, everyone's going to fall in line with Aaron Rodgers. They're not going to bench other players. And there is an element of this where I go, hey, is it that risky? What's the added risk of this? What's the blah, blah, blah? But I'm sorry, it's not about Week 17 against the Lions anymore. It's about the Super Bowl. And you have a chance here to win. And I'm not risking that for meaningless statistics. And I don't think that a guy like Aaron Rodgers or a guy like Devontae Adams is all of a sudden going to be quote-unquote rusty because they don't play for a couple of weeks. I don't buy that stuff. So
that's what I was going to ask do you buy the, hey, it's 3 weeks between games if these guys don't play? Not that the Lions are particularly adept tune-up, but it is a bit of a lull. Ailish, I mean, maybe you'd be able to speak to that more, of like having that long a layoff before a high leverage game. I know they're still off 2 weeks if they play against a half against the Lions. It's not the same thing.
These guys are professionals. Like they can find a way to keep their bodies active, their minds active. The rest is probably a very important thing right now. I don't think that you look at that 3 week stretch and say, oh, I don't know. Like, if you're going to be ready, he's the best. They have the best sports science. They have the best physio. They have the best strength and mental coaches. I don't worry about that. I worry about that in when I play, like if I miss a couple games or I, you know, sit on the bench for three periods and then get out there. Yeah, I worry about that, but I don't worry about an NFL or any professional player having a little bit extra time off. I think they even benefit from it.
Rest up your COVID toe, Aaron Rodgers.
The thing I don't understand too, well, yeah, there actually is that the guy was complaining about a toe when he wasn't playing as well as he could, and then all of a sudden the toe is not a big story after all.
Crazy how that works, eh?
Yeah. What I really don't understand, though, is that Rodgers is, you just said, minus 400 to win MVP. Mm-hmm. There's no stakes here. So I don't believe that rust is an actual factor for Aaron Rodgers. I know that it's a sports fan discussion, but most athletes that I have talked to, there's a difference between not being able to skate, like after the pandemic, and having to get your legs underneath you and coming back into training camp and getting your body back right, than there is having a couple of weeks off as Aaron Rodgers, the professional quarterback of the Green Bay Packers, who I believe is 37 years old. There to me is no case for this, which is tough. It's not a case for individual awards. It doesn't appear to be a case for bonuses. Maybe there's someone that was supposed to be listed for some big bonuses. I certainly didn't see it, but this wasn't like Antonio Brown where it's $1 million for a couple more catches for him. It's just bad. This is just a bad look. I will say it. This is a bad look for Aaron Rodgers, a bad look for the Packers organization. And he's clearly doing it because he holds a lot of the cards within the organization, within the front office. I just think it's got to be a Super Bowl or bust. What is more likely, that you get criticized for having a bad game because you were quote-unquote rusty because you didn't play the Detroit Lions, or Davante Adams, God forbid, rolls his ankle and gets a high ankle sprain in Week 18 against the Lions, and all of a sudden your primary receiver in the postseason is Valdez Scantling? That seems like a pretty huge divide in terms of how I would feel as a Packers fan. Anyway, as a noted Packers hater, good job, Aaron Rodgers. Good job.